Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, we're going to be discussing some things that I believe are important. I believe we need to know. I believe as believers that when all these things are going on in the world, we respond out of emotions. And oftentimes we'll say things or we'll with social media, we'll post things, and I don't think that we've given a lot of thought to what we said or posted. And as believers, we have to be so careful that we're not just posting anything, that we're not just saying anything from our soul, because our soul, remember, is full of emotions. It's emotional. It's the five senses. It's what we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we feel, what we smell. And so based on those five senses, our body, the flesh, responds. And so tonight I contemplated what I would speak about. I know you all might be saying, wow, lately, Coach D, you haven't had any guests. And no, I have not had any guests. I have some upcoming guests in the weeks to come that I'm very excited about. But I've just been led over the last 3 or 4 weeks not to have a guest, not to have a guest just to have a guest, but for me to be able to speak some words into my listening audience, some words hopefully that encourages, that empowers, that educates, that provokes you to purpose, that sends you out and about to do what it is you believe you were called to do. And so that's what I have been doing the last couple of weeks. I've been just speaking what God has put on my heart to speak. And so tonight is no different. I can't even say I'm excited. You guys know that's my spiel. That's my trademark, to say that I am excited. I am enthusiastic about tonight, and I can't say that tonight. One of the things that's been heavily on my heart for this past week is a series of events that have taken place, particularly the event that I'm going to be speaking on tonight is what took place in Orlando, Florida. This was a heinous crime that took place. Many lives were lost, devastation, destruction, and it was heavy on my heart. The pain was heavy. The pain of the violence, the pain of family members that had to get the news. This pain is not unique. This situation wasn't unique. So my pain for the situation was not so much this situation being unique, but it was the pain of what I see around us in our world today, the crime that's going forth. This pain was, to me, it was just as devastating as just a week ago, one of our major universities in California shut down because there was a shooter. They thought it was going to be a mass shooting, but it turned out to be a homicide-suicide. So it was a relational thing that took place where one person killed a person and then killed themselves. But the fear in the moment, in the hours awaiting what really happened, were the same. And it's no different than, school shootings that we've heard about and seen. It's no different than shootings of people through law enforcement. So it was a devastation, and I can't say one level of devastation is greater than others. I mean, there was another devastation that hit the media, and it was the little boy that everybody probably know about, the 2-year-old that got ate by the alligator. But tonight I'm going to focus on. The reason why I'm bringing up the Orlando situation is because I've seen a lot of things posted on social media as it pertains to the Orlando, Florida situation, and it grieves my heart. It grieves my heart from the standpoint that it grieved my heart because, you had a group of people that was saying, oh, they were gay and they deserved to die. That grieved my heart because these are humans first. It also grieved my heart because as believers, I've seen a lot of believers that took on their grievance in a different way that was kind of uncomfortable for me. And what I mean by uncomfortable is that I've seen people change their profile pictures. These are believers. These are people that's confessing Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And they took on and began to change their profile pictures to reflect rainbows and I am Orlando. And I'm not sure exactly what that means. What does that mean, I am Orlando? That concerned me, especially for believers. And the reason I say that is, though no one deserves to be murdered, no one deserves, I don't care what sin they're in, or, you know, God is the he will judge. He will pass down judgment. And I believe that he has given us a duty as believers that is very difficult. It's a fine line, but I believe that he has given us the duty as believers, because his commandment to us is to first love God with all our hearts, all our minds, and all of our souls. And the second command was to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. It didn't say specific that the neighbor had to be godly. It didn't say specific that the neighbor couldn't be a sinner. It never identified that neighbor, what they had to be for us to love them. It just simply said, love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So as I get into thinking about this, yes, we are, you know, we are supposed to pray for what happened. Yes, it was an act of evil, a heinous crime. Yes, a lot of lives were lost, and we are supposed to pray. We are supposed to be watchmen, stay on the wall praying and fasting for the world. We also are supposed to love. It tells us to love our enemies. It tells us to, love our neighbors. So even when our neighbors are not necessarily functioning like we're functioning, we're to love them. Now, tonight, because I'm saying this, and because people, I'm saying this, I'm going to get into some things about love. Because, see, if your definition of love is not right, if it's off sync, then it will cause you to do some things that could be contrary to what you believe. It could be contrary to what God has asked you to do. And so when he tells us to love our neighbor, first of all, we got to identify and make sure we know what love means. Because if we are not careful, we could apply the wrong love to our neighbor than what God required of us. So the first thing I wanted to do on tonight is I want to break down the different levels of love. And we all heard it. For some, it's going to be a reminder. For others, it may be new information. But I'm not going to linger on that, but I want to, as we go into the show tonight, I want you to understand when I say certain words where I'm coming from. I'm going to also get into anger. Is there righteous anger or unrighteous anger? You know, is there a such thing? I want to get into that. I want you to know that. Because when things happen in this world, and I'm talking to believers tonight, when things happen in this world, our response, we want to be careful with our response. We want to be careful that we're not operating like the world is operating. We want to be careful that we don't allow our soul, the emotions, five senses, to take control over our spirit. Because our soul could cause us to start doing things and responding in certain ways that are not conducive to our spirit. So I'm going to start off by letting us, so that we get a sense of the love that that God is talking about from us, what he's requiring when he says love God, what he's requiring when he tells us to love our neighbors. The first love, and there's four type of loves, and these are Greek, but this is the first love that we're going to talk about, and I'm just going to talk briefly about tonight, is Eros. I call Eros bodily love, because Eros is that kind of love that we've all experienced, especially if you've been in relationships. You know, that butterfly in the stomach, you know, that feel good, that euphoric feeling, sexual desire, that's Eros. And Eros is a love particularly within the body, the trembling, the exciting, all that stuff, it brings Eros. Eros is it's a natural sexual urge, and it's lust. Because Eros is a state of the heart, and while it is intimately related to sex, sex can exist and often does exist without Eros. So, didn't know that. That just because you're having sex doesn't make it Eros love, because you can't have sex without any type of emotion, any type of love towards it. But the definition of Eros is the sexual, intimate, carnal, or not carnal, but flesh type of love. without eros, it says eros, it leads to children. We know having sex, eros, leads to procreation, family, joy, and laughter. It is good and right, but it is usually not enough to sustain a long-term relationship. It's said that with eros, that it only lasts, that feeling of euphoric only lasts about a year. Now, that's not to say that it can't last longer. You got some marriages and relationships that still have that woohoo excitement about each other, that passion, that drive, that eros towards one another. But we all know, oftentimes, and we've been in relationships where maybe it died for a season or several seasons, but we all know that we've been in relationships, and we know that after we've been in relationships that outside of the bedroom, we couldn't get along. We couldn't communicate. We couldn't talk. We couldn't move forward because outside of the eros, there was no other foundation that we could stand on. And so oftentimes relationships, marriages have divorced, relationships have broken up because that time on eros that generally, they say naturally, generally only lasts about a year. By the time that year was up, people were still, it's like a drug. People are still trying to hold on because they had the experience for a year, and they're still trying to hold on, and oftentimes stayed in a relationship for 10 years. And when they look back after they have decided to dissolve the relationship, they look back to find out that the relationship was only good for a year in the first place. But they held on for 9 more years trying to get the same feeling that they got in the first year. Amen. I can hear some virtual amens right now. And so anyway, we're going to move from eros. Just want you to understand the different loves so as we go further, you can relate to what I believe God has for us, not Coach D, but what God has for us. The next one is filio. And it's funny with filio because when you think of Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is known for brotherly love. That's their motto. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. And so filio is the love of the soul. It is easy love and it's affectionate. It's bent towards our natural taste and preference. It embodies culture and beliefs. So us as believers and Christians, we have a filial love towards one another, like-minded. We're like-minded. We have the same belief, you know. So we have a filial love, and it's about friendship. You feel towards people you like. So when we meet people that we like, and normally we can meet them for the same interest, not just because of belief, but, you know, it could be social. If you like stepping, I like stepping. So now we build a friendship, and there's that filial love, okay, that could be between that. And God says this kind of love for us is the same kind of love. He says that the filial love is the same kind of love that he has for us and Jesus. It's the same kind of love that Jesus had for his disciples. Parents have for their children and children for their parents. It's the filial type of love, brotherly, sisterly love. That's philos, you know. So, and again, I say philos is a soul type of love. Its strength and value would depend on the elevation of the soul of the barrier, okay? So then that's the second love. The third love we have is storg love, and that's storg, S-T-O-R-G-E. And this is a love of community and family, love we display towards childhood friends and classmates. Oftentimes, this kind of love is duty. It's a dutiful. It's like a obligated. Sometimes unfeeling, but very strong nonetheless. So it may not have, you know, you do have some childhood friends that you grew up with that you were really close and you build a bond with that may go beyond this. But oftentimes, you grew up in your neighborhood. There was kids that grew up in your neighborhood, so you knew them. You called them friends. It's something, you know, you went on about life. And then you might find out, because you stay in touch with your neighborhood, that something happened to that person. There's a love there. There's a stored type of love. It doesn't have a lot of emotional feelings towards it, but it has a, oh, man, I hate to hear that that happened to that person. You know, it can reflect back on some maybe some childhood experiences that you had with them. Classmates, those are the type of love that's stored love. It's natural. It's carnal love. But powerful enough to be a real hindrance to spiritual growth. especially when family and culture are holding you down. It is a love that may pull you towards a lesser path. Now, I'm going to get into the last love. And the last love, we all heard this love. We heard of the love is agape love. This is that unconditional God type of love. This love is not based on emotions. It's not based on feelings. It's not based on the five senses. It's not based on the soul. It's not based on the body, but it's based on the spirit. The spirit love, the true love, and what God is saying true love is, and we know this, we've read it a million times, what love is and what love is not. We read it, we meditate on it, we've heard it a thousand times, and we aspire, at least I hope most of us aspire to love like that. And that's the agape love. And I'm not sure that any of us have mastered the agape type of love. You know, I've heard people, parents say, well, I got agape love for my kids. I got an unconditional love for my kids. And I had a discussion, matter of fact, a couple of weeks about unconditional love. And I said, you know, I would beg to differ because we do love our kids. And most of us, some of us would die for our kids. I know I would probably die for my kids. But I'm not quite sure that we have an agape love, because I believe that we as humans, we spiritual beings encased in flesh, they said that we have the capabilities of it, and that's probably true, but I'm not sure that we have mastered it, because oftentimes our love is self-absorbed. It has conditions. If you do this, then I love you. You have to do this to show me that you love me. It's conditions. When we're married, we got conditions that we set upon our mates. If you don't cheat, I love you. If you continue to help provide, I love you. If you don't get that, I love you. And so we have all these conditions that we surround around love, but yet and still we say we love unconditionally. Well, we don't love unconditionally. There is conditions. And so I'm going to get more into that, and you don't have to agree with me, because one of my favorite things is we could agree to disagree. Everybody has differences of opinion. And I'm just not sure that we as humans in our carnalness have, I'm not saying we don't have the ability to, but I don't believe that we've mastered our practice unconditional love. It says that agape is more of a parental, mature, sacrificial kind of love. Agape is described as dutifully when it says to take pleasure in the things, prize it above all other things, be unwilling to abandon it or do without it. In a way, it's as idealistic as Eros. I found that amazing that they connected the two, because Eros, though it relates to a lustful body type of love, it's a passionate type of love. And it also, when it is used properly, when Eros is used properly as between husband and wife, it's a God love. It's connected to a God love. So when it says that Eros is limited, it lasts for a specified amount of time, not long, but when it's connected to agape, when it's connected to God, Eros and agape go hand in hand. It goes hand in hand. And so we want to try to get to an agape. And I know when God tells us to love him, and when he tells us to love our neighbors and love ourselves, he's talking about the agape type of love. He's talking about that kind of love that's just sacrificial. It's free of pride and self-interest and possession. It forsakes all. It's not about me. No longer is it about me. I'm contending for your highest good. Love, you know, the ability to meet one's legitimate needs when it's within your power to do so, even when that person can't love you back. God has agape love for us so much so that he sent his only begotten son. His son has so much agape love for us that he was willing to die, to suffer a flesh death of pain and agony for us. That's unconditional love. Unconditional love doesn't think anything of itself. I think nothing of myself, but my whole thought is contending for the good of others. And so I wanted to make sure that we understood the various types of love. I felt like this was important to know because there's no way that we could continue to operate according to how I believe God would want us to operate as believers if we don't even understand what love is. So when he says love our neighbors, and he doesn't specify neighbors as being anything other than those around us, regardless of where they're at in life, our goal is to love them with the love of the Lord and pray for them that they may come into the full knowledge, understanding, and acceptance of the gospel. Do you know that that's our whole commission in life? We can make it about jobs. We can make it about ministry. We can make it about marriage. We can make it about obtaining homes and cars and all this other stuff. We can make it about. But that's so far from it because our only purpose on this earth is to bring people into the knowledge. Go out and tell people about Jesus. And so even when we see people that act ugly, I mean, some of us won't even get along with our cousin that acted ugly to us. We cast them out. We don't want to be bothered with them. We don't want to deal with them because they have a bad attitude and they may live a certain lifestyle that's not acceptable to us, and we won't deal with them. So we know if you can't even deal with people within your own household, your own family, and you cast them out, we know that you're not going to deal with the 50 people that got killed because of their lifestyle. And I'm not saying that we accept the lifestyle, but what I am saying is that we are commanded to love people regardless of their lifestyle, regardless of what their belief system is. I had a hard time with this a few years ago. I really had a hard time with that concept of loving my neighbors in spite of, because I felt like, okay, well, Lord, if you want us to do that, then what about the scripture that you tell us about that says to us that in James 4:4, that, you know, to be friends with the world is enemies against God. So I didn't understand the concept there because I thought, okay, how am I supposed to love everybody because you're telling me to love everybody, but everybody don't love you. And I thought I had to take on that banner because, okay, you don't love God, I don't love you. You're an enemy of God, you're an enemy of mine. And that's the way we function because we function, again, from the soul. Soul is emotions, loyalty, emotions. These are the emotions we carry. You know, I'm down for you, you down for me. God, you died, you know, you know, Jesus, you died for me. Okay, I'm ready to die for you. And so we take on, you know, this natural way that we relate to things. So, but what I understand and what I see now is that we're not supposed to be operating like the world. We're not supposed to be acting like the world. We're not supposed to be living lives of sin. We're not supposed to even be accepting of sin. You know, if somebody's life is sin, we have the ability, and this is biblical, we have the ability to call out sin as sin. And oftentimes when we do that, people don't want to hear that because they want to say we're being judgmental. But what we will say is that be careful when you're calling out sin as sin because, again, he without the first cast the first stone. So if you're not operating, and I know this is cliche because this is not scripture, when you hear people say if you live in a glass house, don't throw stones, well, guess what? How many of us is living in a glass house? I know that I live in a glass house at times, and I know that glass has been broken all around me. I've spent days, weeks, months, years sweeping up glass because I threw a stone. But even in the experience of me having to spend days sweeping up glass, so to say, for throwing a stone while I was living in a glass house was a lesson for me, a lesson learned. Don't throw stones. But not only not to throw stones, but just to make sure that I'm not living in a glass house, to make sure that I am operating according to God's purpose for my life. not for the next person's life, but for my life, and that I'm being held accountable to him. Because if I'm being held accountable to him vertically, he's going to take care of everything else horizontally. So I say this to say, be careful as believers that you don't start looking like the world. It's no way I'm going to change my profile picture to a rainbow, Orlando. But I'm praying for what happened in Orlando. That incident is not Orlando. It's an incident that took place in the city of Orlando. But we'll embrace social media trends that come through. We embrace them. We don't understand them. We haven't even investigated or researched or understood. We haven't even taken the situation and taken it to the Word. What does the Word say about this? What should I be doing? How can I support all these lives? How can I support the family of these people who just died? How can I best love them, Father? How can I best love them? We'll put up a profile with rainbows, best talk, say that I love them. With me going to march in a parade that doesn't stand for what? I mean, how can I best love? And so that's what the question should be. That's what our prayer should be. How can I contend for their highest good? How can I support the family and friends of these victims? They're victims. Regardless of choices, they're victims. They were murdered, and that's not acceptable. And when we become numb to these kind of things taking place, boy, we're really in trouble. So we just want to learn how to love people, but we want to learn how to love people without us losing who we are and what our belief system is and what we're standing on. Because if we're not standing for something, then we'll fall for anything. What makes us any different? The only thing that should be making us different, or the biggest thing that should be making us different from what's going on in the world, is our ability to love beyond expectation. Our ability to love in spite of, as a believer, I want to hear people say that. Our ability to love in spite of. Because God loves us in spite of. We're not perfect. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Sin is sin. I hear a lot of people saying that. Sin is sin. It is. Sin is sin. If you're shacking up, it's no different than you being homosexual. If you homosexual is no different than somebody that's a drunkard. So sin is sin. And so we need to be expressing the love of God. We need to be expressing the Word of God. And we need to be loving people into transformation. Not hating people. And hate never resolves anything. Hate will never cause anybody to transition. But love does. Love will cause a transition. Why do I say that? How do I know that? Because the love of God. It was the love of God that caused us to transition. It was the love of God that caused us to change. It was the love of God that caused us not to operate the same way we used to operate. And it's going to be the love of God that's going to cause us to continually progress, to continually transform by the renewing of our mind. And so if we're not operating in the love of God, then we're in glass houses, throwing stones. Now, I want to get to, we talked about love, and I think I drove us home about what love is. You know, we know there's scriptures in the Word that, you know, you could go to that tells you love is kind and love is this and love is this, and it is. But now we got a better understanding of the different levels of love, the different types of love, and what love is important, what love is not, probably the kind of love that God is speaking of when he's telling us to love our neighbors. And so now I want to get into something else, because as we spoke about love and we're talking about the events that have taken place, specifically the one in Orlando, I could even bring this message tonight, even about things that's taking place with police brutality that leans towards a certain race. I could take this towards any acts of violence that's taking place in our world. These violence, I guess, to a certain extent, I have compassion, and I have have empathy towards the victims and their families, and I'm definitely keeping them in prayer in any of these incidents, and I'm definitely lifting them up. I definitely would be open to support, how I can best support them to get through these things. Yet I also know that we have to be, again, careful. I want to talk about anger. So we went from love and the different ways of love, and how do we give the best love? And the best love, again, is agape love, contending for one's highest good. Now I want to go into anger. And the reason why I'm switching over to anger right now is because, you know, we've heard people talk about, oftentimes you hear people talk about, and I'm talking about believers, not talking about outside of us as believers. You hear people talking about that's the anger of God. The wrath of God fell down upon us, and it just took the club out. And God used this one man to take out the club. Now, first and foremost, one thing I do understand, whether you understand it or not, is that God is able to do all things exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could think or ask. So I say that to say is that I don't care if you're sitting on your porch, swinging in a swing, drinking cold lemonade on a hot summer day. If it's your time to go, guess what? That might sound insensitive, and I'm not trying to be insensitive. What I'm saying is that nothing in this universe happens that God does not allow to happen. There are rules. There are principles. There are things that, in effect, and this may not necessarily that I'm pertaining this to what happened there, but there are things that, for example, I don't care what you believe and how much faith you have. Gravity is a law. It's a law that God put into the universe. So gravity says that if I climb up on this desk and I jump, I'm not gonna hover in air. I'm gonna fall. Gravity is going to bring me down. Now, by God's grace, I could jump and not get hurt. But the bottom line is gravity is going to cause me to come down. So I say this to say is that there's principles. God has conditions. He has even conditions. His love is unconditional. God is so sovereign that his love for us is unconditional. But he has conditions on his promises for us. And I think sometimes we get the promises mixed up with the love, and that's two separate things. Because God's love for us is unconditional. It's unwavering. It's unchangeable. It's nothing we could do. Nothing that we could do that could separate us from his love. That's he loves the righteous and the unrighteous. It rains on the just and the unjust. He don't like the acts necessarily. He doesn't like what people do necessarily, but the love is unconditional. And for all of us that he loves, he has some promises, but there are some conditions to those promises. And so we know, we've heard about promises that have conditions, so the conditions of those promises would be such, let me just give you an example. Deuteronomy is always my favorite that I always go back to. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. And I'm going to paraphrase, but you could definitely turn to it or note it down to make sure that you read it for yourself. Always read for yourself. Don't let me or anybody else speak scripture to you off the top of our mind or paraphrase, and you don't read for yourself. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, it kind of goes something like this. If you hearken diligently and obey to all that I command you on this day, then it talks about when you do that, all these blessings that will overtake you. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, being the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, being the lender and not the borrower. All these blessings is a condition, because it says if, and if is a condition. And so oftentimes we want to get the promises of God, and oftentimes we want to, you know, receive all these things, and we don't want to follow the conditions. But I just threw that one in there. So we're going to get back to anger. I know I'm bouncing around a little bit, but I think that you're getting it. And that's what I want. I want us to get it. I want us as believers to stop knee-jerking. I want us as believers to just stop saying stuff and doing stuff before we seek God about what we're doing and what we're saying. Social media is notorious for us. Social media is a great tool for marketing. It's a great tool for staying in touch with loved ones far and near. But I'm going to tell you, for us as believers, we got to be, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Dangerous. We got to be careful, because never before in the course of history have we been able to speak our mind quickly. See, before social media, all things would go through our heads. And so things would go through our head that would just go through our head. And we had time to think about it. We had time to reason with it or not reason with it. We had time to define it or check it out. So it was good that we had that time, because us having that time allowed us to know not when to put stupid stuff up. And we all been there. I don't know about you all, because I know that everybody, I know that most people are super duper spiritual. But, honey, I tell you, I struggle. It's been days that I've posted things on Facebook that I didn't post. I didn't hit the send. I wrote it out, and something in my spirit, I had to make a choice of being obedient or being disobedient. And there's sometimes where I push the button and push send and know I shouldn't have seen what I said, because I was just thinking out loud. Thinking out loud. And sometimes we think out loud, but that needs to stay to ourselves. Even in thinking out loud, we don't need to think out loud. We don't need to put everything on social media. We got to be careful, because we're the representation. We are the light of the world. And if we're the light of the world, but we look like the world, then what difference are we making in the world? None. So if we're posting memes, stop it, people. Stop. We got to stop. We're posting memes with pictures of Jay-Z, and then we're putting a spiritual scripture below it. Now, come on now, really. What kind of sense does that make? Now, I'm not judging, so I'm going to pull back the reins. But I said, think about it. I posted memes that people have put up, and I read it, and I was like, ooh, I like this. Ooh, that, yes, yes, I agree with that. Amen, that's right. And I posted it. And then one day, the Holy Spirit said to me, what are you doing? You got Lil Wayne up here with his blunt in his hand and a Coke 45 or whatever else in his other hand, talking about the Lord is my strength. Really? And we do that. It should be laughter going on right now, because you guys know we've done that. We're not careful. We're careless. And we got to stop being careless about what we say and do. We got to stop being careless about changing our profile pictures for every single thing that takes place. We got to stop. And things are going on all across the world. We've had death and destruction. The thing that happened in Paris, a few months ago? And then everybody's changing their profile to that. I'm just saying, did God tell you to do that? It's a good thing, but is it a God thing? And there's a difference between good things and God things. And we got to get into a point where we're doing God things and not good things. Now, that's if you're a believer, and if that's if you're reading the Word of God, and you know that good people not necessarily going to make it, because you can't, because you being a good person alone is not justifiable for you to make it to heaven. Simply accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior is what you have to do. And if you haven't done that, just because you're a good person, may not make it. So we got to get out of just doing good things. Good things are good things. And I'm not taking away from good things. I mean, doing good things is probably better than doing evil things. But I'm saying we got to start doing some God things. We got to know that the difference between good things and God things, because God things are not always fuzzy-wuzzy. God things, I had a conversation today with one of my brothers in Christ. And he said people, or yesterday, he said people got this idea of God being a candy, cotton candy God, sweet baby Jesus. That's the way we see God. That's the way we treat God, that he's still the Lamb here on earth, still the Lamb. And he's not. He's risen. He's the Lion of Judah. You know, the same God that we serve today is the same God that told Joshua to go take the land I have given you. I've given you this land. Go take it. Possess it. Kill everything, man, woman, and children. Don't bring nothing back. Burn everything down. And what happened? Somebody in Joshua's camp decided to not follow the conditions, the rules. And Joshua started losing favor with God and didn't understand why things had started taking a turn, why he was being defeated. And he went before God and he said, Lord, what's going on here? And I'm paraphrasing. What's going on here? And God said to him, there's sin in your camp. And so Joshua had to go through and determine, and finally he found the two guys that had stole treasures from the war. They didn't leave them behind and let them burn. They stole them and hid them up under their tent. What did God tell them to do to those two men? Bless them and send them on their way? No, he told them to kill them. So the same God then, the same God that hardened Pharaoh's heart and caused various plagues to take place, to give Pharaoh to understand, to let his people go. The same God that tore down the Tower of Babel and got angry at the people because they had disregarded him. They had disregarded God. They had stopped reverencing God. And so he caused their languages to be different so that they would be dispersed throughout the earth. The same God. But today, we got so caught up in prosperity teaching that now today the only thing we see God is our sugar daddy. I'm claiming it. I'm naming it. I'm going to be famous. I'm going to have a car. I'm going to have a house. Oh, Lord, bless. Blah, 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 blah. Those are just the things that he gives us because he loves us and we his kids and we're obedient. Those are just the extra things he do. Those are not what he's about. That's not what he's about. And so we've gotten so caught up in that we see this sweet baby Jesus. Oh, Lord. And it's not. It's the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. Revelations, read it. Not trying to scare you, but I'm saying we didn't got away from having a reverence for God. We gotten away from having a fear for God. We just mosey on about our business, do what we want to do, and I know this message tonight may be like, whoa, what's wrong with Coach D? Maybe I'm speaking to the choir. Maybe I'm speaking to myself. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody else out there that's getting it. But we got to stop playing church and really be the church. I'm not saying, and let's say, when I say stop playing church, I'm not talking about because you like to go out and you like to go out and you have a glass of wine and you may want to listen to a little bit of jazz. See, I'm not even talking about that kind of stuff, but we done got so caught up and worried about those kind of things that we're forgetting the main thing. And the main thing is that playing church is, are you doing some God stuff? Are you doing what God told you to do? Are you being obedient to what he told you to do? Because we all have a position in this kingdom. Everybody has a position. And when you out of order, you out of position. And it don't just hurt you. It hurts the whole kingdom. Because we need you in position. We need you to be walking in your purpose. We need you to be doing what God told you to do. Because he's told each one of us to do something. He ain't tell everybody to do the same thing. It's just like a football team. If the quarterback don't do his job, he affects the whole team. If the linebacker don't do his job, he affects the whole team. Everybody got to be in position. And we need to get in position. And we need to stop playing church. And we need to stop playing on social media, posting crap that's contrary to what we say we believe. And then we wonder why when we go to tell somebody about Jesus, they're looking at us. They clowning. They posting little funny things and clowning and just abomination to God. A slap in the face to his son. Because they see what we do. They see the kind of stuff we posted. They see what we talking. I just talked about how good the Lord is in my life, but yet still I've been living with this man for 10 years, and I'm not married to him. I'm talking about how good God is, but then I'm turning around and I have a secret relationship with another female. I'm saying how holy and powerful and how all this that God is, but then I turn around on social media and cuss folks out. Talk about how black I am and about the struggle of the black people. I can't be a militant and be a Christian. Hate and love don't live in the same space. So I got to choose one side. We got to choose one side. You know, there is a scripture, and I wish somebody was on here that could get to it real quick, but it's a scripture that says, let me see if I can just get to it real quick. Okay, this scripture is so profound. I was going to go into a whole nother thing. I wanted to talk about anger, and I know we're coming toward the end, but just give me 10 more minutes. I guarantee you 10 more minutes, and I tell you, I believe in this 10 minutes that you give me that you're going to just walk. I pray not that that you walk away in condemnation. I pray that you don't walk away beat up. I don't want you to be bruised and beat up. It was not my intent to perform surgery tonight on you and leave you open. It's my intent to perform surgery so we could search the depths of our heart and that we could begin to clean that stuff out and then let the love of God and the word of God, which is all truth, sow us back up so we could walk out as soldiers. That we could walk out as warriors and we could stop being punks. Stop being just, you know, just these weak punk Christians. We sit up here and we think that just, you know, we think that we're supposed to sit and just take things. And that's not what God has told us. He said, since the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom has suffered violence and the violence has taken it by force. Are you taken back by force? What God has promised you. He's promised you the land, Joshua. Go and possess the land. You can't sit there and expect for God to just drop it in your lap. You got to go possess it. He's promised it to you. He's promised you that your kids will be whole. He's promised you that your household will all serve the Lord. He's promised you that he will save your household. Are you standing on those promises? Are you fighting for what God has promised you? He promised it. He's not a man that he should lie. If your promises are not coming to pass, then you've got to sit up and look at, are you following the conditions that lead to the promises? Are you operating in the conditions that lead to the promises? That's important because all promises have conditions. So really quick here, I'm going to talk about, I got to go to this. I got to do this. Scripture. This is the scripture I wanted to get to while we're here because I'm saying we got to make some choices. We got to really decide today. You already accepted Jesus Christ, so you did that. But really, you got to decide today what team are you really on? What team are you really on? Because, see, in these last days, things are getting ready to get tough. Woo! It's getting ready to get rough. And if we're not careful, and if we don't have our belief system in order and our foundation is firm, when it's going to get rough. And if we are not careful, we will be swayed because the pressure and all that we're seeing is going to become so overwhelming to us that it could cause us to stumble, that it could cause us to change what we believe, that it could cause us to lean in a different direction. And I'm going to tell you that the enemy is so cunning that he will lead you to believe that what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right. It's coming. We see it. There's churches being built up on every block that have a form of godliness but deny the power within. I don't know how many ministries I'm seeing now, and I'm going to talk about it because, see, I'm tired of not offending, meaning, oh, be careful what you say. Shh, don't say that. You don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But everybody hurt my feelings because every time I turn around and cut on the TV, every time I listen to the news, every time I find on the social media, my feelings is getting hurt. My feelings is getting hurt. They're getting hurt because I see the abominations to my God. I see the things that people are doing, demonic cults. They're putting up statues of satanic statues in Detroit. Detroit is a major city, and they got a statue up where that's where they worship. We got churches where the pastors are openly, the bishops are openly confessing their love for the same sex. This is, I mean, but you know, this is what it is. Sin is not that I'm not supposed to love them. I love them. I love everyone. I love whatever you're going through. But my thing is I love you, but I don't have to tolerate where you're going. Now, I'm going to love you, and when you ask me a question, I'm going to tell you in love. I'm not going to doubt you. I'm not going to even be the one to tell you you're going to hell. I'm just going to read you the scripture, and you make out of it what you want to make out of it. I'm going to love on you anyway, because my love is not determined by your rebellion, because that's all it is. It's all about rebellion. But Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 tell us something. I'm going to leave with this, but I want you to hear this one. This is speaking to somebody. We can't be playing church. We can't keep playing church. And Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 tells us this. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. First of all, before I go any further in the scripture, how many of us know that the word of God is for the people of God? I'm going to repeat that. The word of God is for the people of God. How many of us know that when you're reading the Bible, Paul, when you're reading the Bible, Peter, when you're reading the Bible, all, you know, the Gospels, don't you know that they're talking to us as believers? They're talking to us as believers about us and the world around us and how not to get entangled in the world and the things of the world. So he's not talking to somebody that hasn't accepted him. The inspired word of God is by word through the Spirit of God. He's not talking about those that's not believers. He's talking to us as believers. And he's telling us, I know your deeds. Yeah, you get up and go to church every Sunday. Yeah, you get up and go to Bible study on Wednesday. Yeah, you go to the woman conference or the men's fellowship. You do all of that. Yeah, you do all that. That's deeds. Those are good things. But is it God thing? Just because it's in the house of God, or what's supposed to be the house of God, don't mean it's a God thing. Is that what God told you to do? Yes, you serve on the usher board. Yes. You are on the praise team, but is that what God told you to do? Or is that what you're doing? Is that your good service? Now, I'm not saying that you're not supposed to do it. I'm saying, is that what God told you to do? Because if God told you to do that, then you're in obedience to God, and that's a God thing. So he says in Revelation 3, 15 through 17, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Woo! That's what he said to us. Stop playing church. Stop doing the good things. Start doing the God thing. Be obedient, because this whole walk is about obedience. It's about faith. And if we have faith, then we believe that God is who he say he is, then we have to also believe that he's a rewarder when we're faithful. When we're obedient. And he said obedience is better than sacrifice. So if he's a rewarder of obedience and faithfulness, he's a rewarder. He's never said that we got to be successful, but he said we do have to be faithful. Are we listening to what he's telling us to do? When he said go, do you go? When he said stay, do you stay? When he said get up, do you get up? Or are we staying still? Are we being stagnant? Are we saying maybe tomorrow? Oh, maybe I'll get to church. You know, maybe I'll get the word someday. Are we being obedient? Some of us not even being obedient because we're standing in places that he told us to leave a long time ago. What you might see about me, and we got to be careful when he's saying about judging, because you don't know what God told me, but to you, it could look crazy. We see people stay in relationships, and we be like, ooh, they're crazy. Why is she in that relationship? Why are you in that relationship? What they doing? But it's not for us to know what they doing, because they have a relationship with God, and they got to hear from God. Maybe they're being disobedient to God by staying, but maybe they're not. That's what we don't know, because that's a vertical thing. That has nothing to do horizontal, even though we give our opinions horizontally. Let's get hot about the things of God. Let's get hot about the things of God. Let's follow Matthew tells the Great Commission, and it says, go ye out, go out, and I'm paraphrasing, and make disciples. Go tell people about the gospel. You talking about your purpose? You don't have no purpose. I'm not in purpose. I mean, my purpose is Jesus. My gifts and talents is what I bring people to the purpose. All of our purpose as believers should be Jesus. Bringing people to the knowledge of Jesus is our purpose. So when I say process life's pain, process the pain. Don't be stagnant. Don't stay still. Don't be lukewarm. Stop getting spit out his mouth. And then pursue the purpose. And the purpose is Jesus. The purpose is not a ministry. The purpose is not a man. The purpose is not a parenthood. The purpose is Jesus. And then once we pursue the purpose, guess what? Woo, you got it right. The promises start manifesting. We start seeing the promises of God operating in our lives. You know, they say you could tell a tree by the fruit it bears. I could preach, Coach D could preach all day long. Coach D could say something all day long. But if Coach D ain't about it, you're going to know it, because you're going to see it by her fruits. What is her fruit showing? So anyway, with all of that being said, we have come to the end of our show. And I just want to say that I pray, Father God, I pray for every listener tonight, Father. Father God, I pray that tonight that the words have penetrated the souls of your people, Father God. Father God, I pray that it has awakened their spirit with a new revelation, with new empowerment, with new dunamis. And dunamis is Greek for power, to just move forward in the things that you've called them to, Lord. I pray that you will give them an ear to hear your voice, Father God, that you will give them spiritual eyes to see the vision that you have for them, Father. Father God, I pray that they will go out, that they will make disciples, Father God, that they will continue to pursue purpose, and the purpose being Jesus. Father, I pray also that as they pursue purpose, Father God, as they process through the pain, Father God, that your promises will be plentiful in their lives in abundance. I pray that you would bless their families, Father God, that you would bless their homes, that you would bless their finances and their health, Father God, and more importantly, their mind. Bless them, Father. I thank you, Father God, for all that you've done, and I thank you, Father, for this platform that allows you, Father God, through your spirit to minister to your people in wherever the place they are at the time. In Jesus' name. Again, I thank you, my listening audience, and I thank you for your continued support. Feel free to join us next week on Monday for Relentless Pursuit at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then we have on Tuesday, Woman to Woman, so grab your girlfriends. These topics are hot topics and concerns of women. And that's at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then again on Thursday, we have Processing the Pain, again, with yours truly, Coach D, and that's at 7 p.m. as well, Pacific Standard Time. We thank you. We appreciate you, and we just know that you are loved and appreciated. You are so loved and appreciated, and I'm looking forward to seeing the testimonies of the hot people, the hot people. Have a good evening. Love you.
today.